Good morning. This is FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. And today we're with Warner Braun, who is the president of the Carpet and Rug Institute. And about every 4 to 6 weeks, we get together and talk to Warner. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Kemp.
Let me ask you real quick. Since we sat down last time, our May annual report, the Floor Focus May annual report, has come out. And actually, it showed that the flooring industry had lost about 9% of its total dollar value. So it's down to about a $22 billion industry. And the carpet sector of that is down about the same amount, actually just a hair more. So you only lost about 0.4 of a share point, which I guess you would consider to be relatively good news.
Well, yes, relative being the operative word. Obviously, this industry, along with many others in the flooring sector, are suffering. And we have every hope that, you know, that'll turn around early next year. So I know the industry has been working very hard to contain costs, try to minimize layoffs as much as they can. But we are gratified that the erosion we've seen over the past few years has certainly slowed.
So you're holding at about 52.1%, which when you start looking at the world market, the United States is still way, when you talk about carpet and its share of flooring, it's still way up there. And on the commercial side, it's still very strong. So I know the CRI, I mean, one of your main charges is to try to minimize share loss. What does this organization do to minimize share loss?
Well, first of all, Kemp, what we do every 2 or 3 years is we look at, you know, what are the issues that are getting in the way of consumers replacing their carpet with more carpet or putting down carpet when they have an opportunity. So we look at what are the common issues facing the industry. The other thing we do is we do our semi-annual surveys of both the residential and commercial sector to find out from the customers what's getting in the way. And clearly those are the things we work on. And the two top ones, and one of them is brand new, by the way, that really moved up significantly since we did the last survey, is asthma and allergy. Cleaning and maintenance is still number one, but asthma and allergy has come up to second place on the issues that people are concerned about with respect to carpet.
And you thought you had maybe reversed some of the trends there, because I know you had two or so years ago, you had done a major campaign to doctors to try to get them the right information about air particulates and how carpet is actually better off. Why don't you tell me where that stands?
Well, we've done a lot more work with respect to asthma and allergy, and in fact, Dr. Mitch Sauerhoff just completed a world literature review where he looked at all of the studies in the world literature that compared asthma and allergy symptoms of patients, their medication use in a carpeted versus a non-carpeted environment. And in the 9 studies he found in the world literature, every one of those said that if you have asthma and allergy, you're better off having carpet down than a hard surface. We're obviously going to use that extensively. One of the things, by the way, small digression here, that the Market Issues Committee has learned from the surveys is that when you go in and you hit a target audience like asthma and allergy doctors, and then you come back 2, 3, 4 years later and haven't done anything in the interim, you lose all the ground you've gained. And one of the things that Keith Gray, who chairs the Market Issues Committee, is proposing to the board is that we start doing a yearly campaign with each one of the critical audiences, because if you don't, you make some progress, but then you slide back. And we certainly have seen that in the recent round of surveys, and I really believe that's the way to go.
All right, just to move to another topic real quick, I thought you were in the news just recently. I think we ran a story on you guys just the other day around what you're doing, your certification, your ANSI certification. Why don't you give us an update on that?
Well, you know, I'm very proud of what CRI has done by the work of lots of people. But, you know, we have now been recognized as a product certifying body under ANSI, which is the American National Standards Institute. And in fact, we are the first such organization recognized for environmental product certification, and certainly the first one in the flooring industry. And so we're very proud of that. And it really links into our strategy, which is to get all of our testing and certification programs certified under ANSI. That will give our programs a lot more credibility in the marketplace and a lot broader recognition.
That took a long time to get this, didn't it? I mean, there was a long, drawn-out process, and you had to almost prove to this organization that you were impartial, didn't you?
Well, not almost. We absolutely had to prove that to them, and they came here and did an audit in September. They will be back again in September, and if we do as well as we did the last time, then they won't be back for 2 years. But you have to absolutely demonstrate that you're adhering to your processes, and we're doing that, and we have much better processes in place today. Beyond that, now we're all in the process of starting the next certification, which will be for VOCs for adhesives. And then beyond that, we're going to be doing ANSI certification for all of our seal approval products.
And I know you for a while now you've had a vacuum cleaner testing program. Is that going to be part of this ANSI program?
That's right. In fact, in January, the cleaning and maintenance issue management team, which Kerry Mitchell chairs, made the decision to bring the green label program under the logo of seal of approval. So we now call that the seal approval green label program. And in that program, we're now using the same NASA technology, the X-ray fluorescence that we use in extractors, to test the vacuum cleaners.
All right, and that sounds very interesting. Another thing that I've just recently heard about is you've been working with Lou Migliori on developing some, I guess what you call horror stories. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm really pleased. Lou's been a big help to us because one of the things we've kind of intuitively known for a long time is that if carpet is not properly cleaned and maintained, you can take a product that has a 10, 11, 12-year design life and ugly it out in 2, 3, 4 years. And what we've been able to do is collect some very compelling stories about where products were improperly cleaned and maintained and had to be pulled out long before the design life. We've now gotten that into a new brochure, which we'll be making available to all participants in the Seal of Approval program. And it really is compelling because I'll give you one example. There was a commercial property that had about $183,000 in round numbers of carpet down with a design life of 11 years, and it had to be replaced because it was improperly maintained in 4 years. And so the net loss of value to that customer was about $116,000. In addition to that, it trebled the environmental footprint. You know, as an industry, we work real hard to get the environmental footprint down. And if the design life is 11 years, but you only get 4 years out of that product, you've done a bad thing for the environment, not alone also throwing money down the sewer.
Yeah. So, what are you going to do with this data? As you collect this data, you're going to use this data for what purpose?
Well, like I said, we're going to be distributing this to all of the seal approval participants, both the people who are in the chemical program, equipment program, and the service providers. Hopefully, they'll be able to use this in their marketing because we want those people to be the preferred vendors of cleaning chemicals, equipment, and service providers. Because if they are, the customer is going to be a lot more satisfied with their cleaning. They're going to be a lot more satisfied with their soft floor covering.
All right. So you're basically going to stress the importance of having a cleaning and maintenance program and how it does. If you do the right things, you can get the full life of your carpet out of a certain installation.
Absolutely. And it's so intuitive. I mean, people, you know, maintain their automobiles to get the maximum design life out of them. And in cases where people don't, they pay the consequences. And that car, you can burn up an engine and 90,000 miles in a car that should be going 250,000 to 300,000 miles. Absolutely the same thing applies to carpet.
All right, let's shift gears for a second and talk about sustainability. I was just interviewing a couple days ago the head of Neocon, the guy that kind of runs the Neocon show, and he actually made a point to say that while the Neocon show started out as being an office furniture type of show, that the flooring industry deserves all sorts of kudos for being way out front when it comes to sustainability. The reason I bring that up is I completely agree that this industry is out front. But also, I mean, you just 2 or 3 weeks ago came back from a CARE conference. Why don't you tie in and tell us the performance numbers from the Carpet America recovery effort?
Well, you know, it's an amazingly great story. If you think about, and you talked about the environment, the economic environment of the country and of our industry in particular, that certainly translates to stresses for people who are in the collection, sortation, and processing of post-consumer carpet. But against that backdrop, we did amazingly well last year. We had a 16% growth in a year that was very, very difficult. And we were able to divert 261 million pounds of post-consumer carpet to other value recovery opportunities. And this builds on a great story as well. Last year in September, October, we passed a very significant milestone with CARE. CARE has now diverted 1 billion pounds of post-consumer carpet, again, to other value recovery opportunities. And it's a great story and something this industry really needs to be proud of.
That is big news. And, you know, there's, a shift in leadership there, too. We should probably, let me ask you a quick question about that. With Bob Peoples moving up to Washington and taking on another role with the chemical organization, where does it stand as far as having a new general in charge of CARE?
Well, you know, what it's meant is in the near term, Frank Hurd, who is the chairman of the board, has been a lot more hands-on. We certainly ask Jeremy Streep, who is the manager at CARE, to step up and do more. In addition to that, Jeff Carrier, who is our new manager of sustainability at CRI, has also pitched in. So I would say, even though it's probably not a sustainable sort of thing going on forever, in the short term, you know, we've got good people on board, and they're all pitching in to keep CARE hitting on all eight cylinders.
It is neat to work within an industry where sustainability is, where we have so many people that are really focused on that. Well, listen, Warner, I really appreciate you spending time with our listeners today. We've been talking to Warner Braun, the president of the Carpet and Rug Institute, and I'm Kemp Haar with FloorDaily.net.